Welcome, everyone, wherever you may be, to Faith All Over the Place. This is episode number 8, and coming to you from the glorious Sonoran Desert on kind of a windy late winter's day. I'm Stephen Cruiser. Joining me from deep in the woods, Georgia, which I love saying, even though I don't know if it's true, is my good friend and co-host, Chris Queen, who will introduce today's guest for us. Chris, how you doing?
Oh, good, good. I'm really on the edge of the woods more so than deep in the woods, but hey, what can you do? All right. I'm excited about today's guest because it's somebody I've known literally his entire life. I babysat him and his siblings when they were younger, and boy, do I have stories. But I've watched him grow up, and I'm proud to serve alongside him as my pastor. He's the pastor of Eastridge Church in Covington, Georgia. Please welcome Kurt Petersheim.
Hey, guys. Thank y'all so much for having me on. I too am in the woods a little bit, I guess, we live out here in Covington, but man, it's great to be on here with y'all. Looking forward to our conversation today.
We've been talking about having you a long time. And like Chris came up with a perfect angle what to talk about right now with what you're focused on in your church right now. So Chris, why don't you let's get all of that.
All right. Here at Eastridge, we are doing Missions Month, the month of March. And so that's what we wanted to talk to you about, Kurt. But first, you want to give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of your faith journey?
Oh, man. Faith journey. I mean, yeah, really raised in the church. I mean, since I can remember, like you said, Chris, we've known each other. Well, I've known you since I can remember as a young man because of church. I mean, just being in church with your family. So, yeah, really raised in the church. I became a Christian myself. I put my faith in Christ as my savior when I was 8 years old. And so, like I said, man, really just raised in that, inundated in it from a young age, like, you know, many teenagers. I don't know how much, you know, detail y'all want here, but like many teenagers, I certainly had my waywardness and, my struggles and certainly kind of sought out the world and the things the world had to offer as much as I wanted to in those times, middle and high school. But man, really saw God's faithfulness through it. And I think when I was really older, high school, 17, 18 years old is where I would say I really began being more serious in my faith as God kind of drew me back into the community, the church, and started being what we call being discipled, right? Like just really had people walk alongside me and help kind of steer me back the right directions and all that. Anyway, and just decided around that time too, when I was a senior in high school, wanted to go into ministry. And so that really the last, how long has that been now? Almost 20 years now, has really been that, just pursuing the Lord and the ministry that he's allowed me to do. By his blessing, I've been able to stay at the church I grew up in, pastor, was a youth pastor for, 14, 15 years. And now I'm the lead pastor here at our church, Eastridge out here in Covington. So It's been a journey. It's been a lot of fun and challenging at the same time, but just really cool to see God's hand on my life and kind of, him leading me to the place I am now, which is certainly just a place of still learning and growing and, man, just trying to follow him as best I can. So
it's always fortunate when you can start figuring things out at a young age. I thank God all the time that despite the fact that I went into entertainment full time and everything, I never had a wandering time away from the church or anything like that. It was just like, I don't know how that happened. Well, I know how it happened, but through the grace of God. But I was saying, I've always been grateful for that. I've told this story here before. I'd get to a comedy club and I'd do my act, and my act is so frenetic and all over the place. And I'd get done on the first night and I'd go up to the owners and I'd go, so where's the closest Catholic church so I can go to Mass on Sunday? And their jaws would drop and their eyes would pop and they were like, say what? But it's, I think that's a benefit that, like, you make me, I grew up in a small town where I spent my formative years, very small town, 2,700 people. And I think that, the whole thing that you guys have where you grew up together in an area where everybody knows each other and you got to share the experience a lot. I envy that. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's been something that, man, I talk about that all the time with people, just how neat it has been for me in particular, just to be able to grow up in the same place. And then I actually just had lunch with a guy. I was telling him this, like, just being, I mean, I'm at a church still where I grew up, and I have people that I'm doing life with still that I'm even their pastor, who they were keeping me in nursery
when I was there. Yeah.
And it's just such a funny thing, but man, just seeing how God really changes seasons and you know, brings us along in his grace. Gosh, it's such a testimony, like you said, Stephen, just a testimony to God's grace and his goodness to us, and even surprisingness, the way he, you know, keeps us and works in us and through us. So
Chris, before you like kick off like the main topic of convo here today, we'd just like to say we're gonna talk about that, you know, it's missions month for you. Christian charity. And it was like, Chris and I, since we decided to get off our butts and do it every week, that took a while.
That was an effort right there.
Well, neither one of us thought it through, and we decided to launch this last year during an election year when there was no time for anything else, because we write for a political site, and that was
right. Yeah.
In hindsight, not the wisest idea, right. But we've had these what secular people would call coincidences happening ever since we started doing this every week. What people of faith would call divine providence. And so Chris, last, I think probably Tuesday or Wednesday, when you said, let's talk about this when Kirk comes on next week. And I said, perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Yeah. And then I'm doing this Lenten meditation on Hallow on Friday, and there's a focus for the following week every week. This week is charity. So,
oh, wow.
I'm out for a walk. I'm listening to this thing. That happens, and I start smiling, and I go, there we go. it's just like, we have a program director, and he's way high up. So let's jump into that, Chris.
All right. You know, a lot of churches that are tied to denominations, their missions focus comes from the top down. Mm-hmm. As a completely independent non-denominational church, Kurt, what goes into the process of deciding which missions our church supports?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it, I'll say this, where, you know, being at Eastridge, where I've been the lead pastor a couple of years now, a lot of our current missions partners were their missions partners before I was even leading, you know, I kind of inherited that, which is all good. For the most part, over the years, it's been a lot of personal relationship type things, where, like, for instance, we support Casas Por Cristo, right? That's a mission, and they serve in Mexico and Guatemala and various places where they build homes for families in those countries. I'm pretty sure that like that relationship got going because some of our other pastors went to school with the guy who is our contact there, you know, at Casas Por Cristo, which was great, you know. So it's like, man, we know this person. This person's on the mission field. This person's doing great work. So we're going to support them, you know, which is wonderful. Same thing with our Mid-India Christian Mission. I'm not going to say that gentleman's name on the internet here, but we serve and are able to, you know, support them over there as well in India. Same thing. It was a personal relationship. And then a lot of our missions partners are just here in town, right? So it's, we have a couple pregnancy centers. We support a Christian Learning Center, which I worked for a couple of years. 90% of it was through personal relationship. It was people that we knew that are doing, you know, these works, these things in our community or abroad. That we were just like, man, we see what God's doing there. We want to support that. Like I said, I think that's pretty much 90% of it. The others are, you know, just other very, I think really just local things that, again, we just see the value of and see the Lord's hand in, or just, man, this is such a wonderful opportunity to reach into, like the Salvation Army, for instance, right there. I don't know that there was any particular personal relationship there at the beginning, but it was like, man, it's the Salvation Army. So they're in our town. They have a location here. Of course, they're doing all sorts of good things and have a Christian mission. So gosh, why don't we support that? You know?
Yeah.
So it's a lot, you know, some of it's just real practical and some of it's just very relational, which most of it is just very relational.
Is there ever is there ever a time where you think like, uh-oh, we're getting spread a little too thin now? You like, there's so many things that you would like to you know, reach out to, so many places locally and globally, and you think like, uh-oh, like, is there a point of diminishing returns with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Absolutely. In fact, this last year, again, I'm not going to name names on this, but there's a couple of our missions partners that we stopped supporting, not because of anything bad going on. It was more like, I guess maybe the diminishing returns, just where there wasn't really that connection for one thing. Like I said, some of it, because I inherited some of that, it felt like, you know, there was some that there was no relationship we had with the church and those missions partners anymore. We didn't really know the people. We hadn't really done much with them. We weren't really hearing from them. So some of it's that. But then also, yeah, I mean, there's a million things we can do, right? I mean, there's a million ways to give and to serve and to support. You kind of have to be a little bit discerning there of just, man, you know, we want to get the most bang for the buck, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that what we're giving to really is valuable, of course. And I think the other piece comes in with like, who are we actually having relationship with? The people that are really connecting with us and we with them, the folks that we can actually go serve with, whether again, like on mission trips abroad or even right here in our local community. So there was actually a couple missions partners that just in the past year, we decided we're not going to give any more to them again, not because of anything bad. And we communicated that with them just because, man, felt like maybe the relationship wasn't there. And then we, at some point, you kind of have to make a decision. Okay, we want to give more to these folks that we know and these folks that we are able to really have connection with and go support a little bit more intentionally. So yeah, it's a little tricky and you always feel bad like not supporting anybody, but of course you got to be able to just kind of follow the Lord's leading in that and do the best you can with, I guess, just what you have, you know, the resources that you do have. So
mm-hmm. It's probably like any relationship, there are seasons that just come to an end, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
We have a couple of people who are members of East Ridge who are in the mission field. What is that like? Is it a different kind of way that you interact with them?
Yeah, I mean, that's been such a cool thing over the years. I mean, we've had several folks that we have, some we still currently do and some we don't anymore because maybe they've come off the field or whatever, but a lot of folks that we've been able to support who are kind of homegrown, you know, race. Right now we have a young man, his name's Stedman. He's out in Europe, Amsterdam right now with Youth with a Mission YWAM, doing like a discipleship training school thing out there. It's really awesome. I mean, he grew up at the church. He was going off on that mission and then met with us, talked to us about it. I was like, man, we obviously see the value of that ministry. They're reaching, you know, young adults, college age kids out in Europe, with the gospel of Jesus. I'm like, man, that's incredible. And then too, this is a person who, man, grew up at the church, right? So it's like, gosh, if we see that, I mean, I'm always going to be kind of biased there, right? Of
just, oh, definitely.
Man, I want to support anybody that I know and love, who I've seen grow up, that I know has a passion for this. And then, man, it is really cool. I guess to your question, it is really cool to kind of keep up with them. You know, when they're able to come back, like Stedman in particular, when he's able to come back in town, he always lets me know, like, hey, I'm going to be in town these days, you know, if I could come and give an update to the church and, you know, that kind of stuff. We also have a guy who's he's a missionary as much as anybody is, but he's actually a missionary here in Covington. His name's Caleb. He works over at Bread Oxford. It's a ministry at Oxford College, part of Emory University. But same thing, it's a college ministry, and he's able to kind of intentionally be over there helping reach students. They do like groups and dinners and things like that for college students to come, and they have a whole coffee house set up off campus. So we support him as well, and he's an East Ridge member who is part of our family, and man, it's such a blessing to be able to just come alongside of him, encourage him, support him. And go and serve. Like, we've actually had groups go over there. Chris, I'm not sure if you've done that with us or not, or if you've gotten to do that.
I haven't yet. I'd like to.
Yeah, it's so much fun. We get to go over there and just serve the college. We do a dinner for them like once a month. We don't, but they do. And then we get to go support them every now and then and do it with them. But, you know, things like that where it's like, man, you got people that are invested in your community, your church community, and then they're also able to go on the quote unquote mission field. Man, it's always really, really neat. And you really get to see that firsthand experience of how God's using this person in this ministry, right? And you just feel like that's a little bit even more of a connection to what God's doing here and elsewhere. So it's always really cool.
I think one of the things that really strikes me right now is we're seeing it. Like, we have another faith podcast on PJ Media here that talks about faith and politics. That's not what Chris and I were intending to do, but it comes up. Yeah. Everyone, you know, and we're seeing right now with, you know, the what the president is doing with cutting the bureaucracy and everything, where so many people are in a dead panic about, oh, well, the bureaucracy, like USA was funding this, funding that, funding that. And what never gets, what doesn't get discussed in the secular media right now is the overwhelming outreach that the Christian churches all over the world have with missions and charity.
Yeah.
And they're much more effective. You're talking about bang for the buck. You remove all of the bureaucratic nonsense.
Right.
And you can really help people more directly. And that's massive throughout the world. In fact, it's more effective. It's larger than any governmental or NGOs or governmental agencies. And it doesn't get discussed enough. But it's such a big thing, and it's such a wonderful thing that I think, like, maybe, you know, I'll start writing more about it, too. But, you must see that, because I think what's really interesting about what you're doing is, like, you've got that relentless local focus, which I think everybody should have first, because there's so much opportunity around you to help and serve in any community, large, small, anything.
Right.
There's a huge Salvation Army right building right up the street from me, a housing place. And there's a food bank right up the street from me that I volunteer at from time to time, or I used to before I got so busy here. We'll look at that again. But then you look globally too. And I think that's absolutely fascinating that you've got that kind of outreach, especially given the fact that you're a standalone church in a place in Georgia that I never heard of until I met Chris. I commend you for that. There was no question there. I just wanted to commend you for that. Or if you can speak to the effectiveness of overall, because we're all about ecumenical stuff here, of the overall effectiveness of Christian churches throughout the world doing the things that everybody really wants the government to do, but the churches do them better. If you could speak to that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I'm no expert in, you know, that kind of global scale of things. At the same time, I've been just like you, Stephen, I think just a witness to it, if anything, just how incredible it is when you see, like you said, this global body, this global church that we call the church, being employed all over the place. Like there is no government in the world that can touch what the church can do when the church is doing what the church is supposed to do. Whether that is setting up orphanages, you know, to create opportunities for, you know, children to have homes who don't have homes, or whether it's education systems or healthcare. I mean, gosh, most of the first hospitals in this country were started by Christians, you know, the abolition of slavery in this country was Christians, you know, you get into the arts and the education system. I mean, it's Christianity that has so influenced every part of culture all over the globe. And it is such a, like, it is, I think we live in a culture now where, especially here in the West and a post enlightenment and all this stuff, it's like, it's such a hush hush thing to act like, you know, we kind of almost erase Christianity's influence from the culture. Or we just talk about it like, or it's just talked about in our culture, like it's just a negative thing. But when we really pay attention to what, like exactly what you're saying, what the church is and what the church does globally, there's nothing that comes close. I mean, look after the hurricane that was back in the fall, you know, and, what was it? I forget. Well, what's the government agency that was trying to do stuff out there? And they were just a train wreck. FEMA. Yeah. And it was just a train wreck and it was all messed up. And then what were we seeing? We were seeing just simply local church congregations, and not even just church congregations in North Carolina, but from all over the place, coming in and serving and blessing people and bringing food and, you know, whatever. Like, it was the church, right? And it was, like you're saying, it was kind of void of this ugly bureaucracy. And it was just people who loved the Lord and felt this calling to serve their brothers and sisters, whom they may not even know, to just go, right? And just show up and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's what's beautiful. And even here in town, something I really am proud of, and I don't mean for myself, I just mean for the church, capital C church. I think here in Covington, we do a pretty good job of working together, being pretty ecumenical. And helping one another out. Like, for instance, one of our missions partners is a different church here in town who has a food pantry. It's the Methodist church here in town. We're not a Methodist denomination, and we don't have a food pantry. But we actually talked about this on our church podcast last week that we, you know, it would be one thing for us to go, you know what, we see the need for a food pantry, so we're going to start a food pantry. But also, we see that there's a great one happening, right? Like, there's already this great food pantry going on at the Methodist church downtown. They do a great job. It's super well organized. They serve a lot of people in the community. So if somebody from our congregation comes up to me and goes, hey, you know, we should have a food pantry, I would say, we do. It's at the Methodist church.
Yeah.
And why don't you go serve there? And we have a lot of folks that do go and serve there. And we give money to them and we drive trucks for them to pick up food. Like, we do that stuff where it's like, man, no, we don't have to be part of the same quote denomination to see that we all are trying to serve the Lord and serve his people and just serve our community as best we can. And so that's something I hope to continue to uplift the value of, is just, man, if we are who we say we are, then that's what we're going to do. And we're going to be serving the Lord, of course, but we're going to serve people. I don't care who they are, where they are. If there's a need, we're going to try to meet that need as best we can.
Yeah, that's good. What I know that, you know, the emphasis that we do 2 months a year on missions is a major focus for us as a congregation. But what does it mean to you to be able to keep kind of a mission focus in front of the church all year long?
Yeah, I think that's something that coming in to when I became really the lead pastor here was just a heart that I feel like God gave me just to have this burden for. Are we consistently uplifting the value, right? At least that, I kind of use that word a lot, just the value of this missional life, right? The value of a life lived on mission. Because yeah, I think it's real easy. It's easy for me. And this is probably where this comes from. It's easy for me personally to get really, just apathetic, you know, just kind of in my own little world, my own little bubble. And I say apathetic, I mean, maybe not completely, but just at least kind of get these blinders on and get comfortable. Maybe that's just a better word, just to kind of get comfortable.
Yeah.
To a place where it's like, you know what, I can kind of coast. I don't know about y'all, but I can coast and be sort of like, you know what, I'm a Christian and I believe I'm going to heaven, so I'm good, you know, versus like, no, you know what, I'm not there yet. And so I'm still on this earth. So my job here is to be obedient to Jesus. And in every way that I can, both in word and in deed, to uplift the glory of God and to serve my fellow man and to help people to see his goodness, his grace, his word, his truth in my life and through my life as best I can, and us as a church to be doing that, right? So I guess for me, it's just been, it's been a fun kind of initiative, I guess, over the last few years. We really started this, this is our third year doing Missions Month, so to speak. And that I guess it was just birthed out of that, just sort of almost like a fight against that natural human inclination towards coasting, towards apathy. Of just like, man, it's real easy for us to get religious and forget to be intentional with the community that we live in, you know. And I do not want, whether it's East Ridge Church or any church, the global church, I don't want us to be known as that. I don't want us to be known as just people who kind of just sit back on the sidelines and let culture be culture, you know. I want us to be people that engage, and not that we got to be political necessarily, but we should be helpful. We should be. I think when Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, he said, you are the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. When he said that, I believe what he meant was, these are the two most useful things I can think of, salt and light. Salt has 14,000 common uses. And Jesus, being the Son of God, I think knows that, right? And so he says, you're the salt of the earth. You should be the most useful people in the world if you're my people. You should be so useful to society, so useful to the culture, so good to the culture. And then what is light? Light is incredibly useful and the most powerful force in the universe, right? So it's like, what is Jesus saying? He's like, man, be useful as you go and you live your life in this community. Don't sit back letting, you know, just letting life happen to you and letting culture do whatever it's going to do. Sure. Why don't you step in and actually serve and love and be the light and be the salt that God has created you to be. So that's what I'm hoping, that we can just uplift that value more and more in our congregation. And then, like I said, really just in our community and in the church as a whole. That's what I hope we can be.
There goes the program director again. As you know, I have casually I've said for most of my adult life, you can believe in coincidence or you can believe in God. It's easier for me to God, because coincidence is a little too far-fetched for me. I mean, one coincidence maybe, two, a lifetime. No. So you just mentioned, first of all, I just watched that episode of The Chosen with the Sermon on the Mount. And they've got that. Chris and I have wondered why they decided to make Matthew autistic kind of but it came to the fore perfectly in that, where he's writing down, he's Jesus, a scribe, while Jesus is working on the speech on the sermon, and when he gets to the salt of the earth, Matthew looks at him like, what does that mean? And they get into this, I don't know if you guys have seen that episode yet, into this whole discussion about it, and then Jesus finally comes to exactly how he wants to do it, and then at the end he said, you are the salt of the earth, and Matthew gets it then. And it's, I think it was the greatest moment in the show so far. But the other thing is, so during my daily Lenten reading right now, I'm reading this book of Lenten meditations that was written by a 17th century French bishop, and today was Matthew all over the place focusing on the light. That was this morning before we did this. That's before cool, I knew you were going to talk. So there we go with the program director again.
There you go. That's it.
What I was wondering is, so what is there that now, you know, we're building the audience here. We've got, we're getting some outreach here. What is there that people that our audience, that I can do, that people can help specific mission, some of the local ones, or I mean, is there what I really want to ask is, if you had to pick one right now that maybe some of us can donate to, help out with, which one would you pick right now?
Oh man, goodness. I don't know.
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
That is.
I know. And I'm sorry. I've just like figured that just popped into my head. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You know, honestly, that really is almost impossible to pick, as far as like picking one. Are you asking me like of the ones that we support?
Yeah, the ones that you support right now, the ones that you're talking about right now. If there's one right now that any of us can donate to help out with, because rather than having us try to pick out, you know them best. Chris knows them best. You guys know what's, so if there's one right now, you're going, hey, maybe they need a little more than anybody else. They're more in need.
Gosh, you know, the one that comes in my head first, and again, I don't know if this is the right answer, but the one that comes in my head first, we support two different local pregnancy centers, both in Rockdale County here in Georgia and in Newton County, Newton Pregnancy Resource Center, and then the Refuge Pregnancy Center. Those are just, those pop in my head first, just because of that's a very difficult ministry, for one thing. Yeah. They're serving mainly women, young women, mostly, but basically women who have an unplanned pregnancy, who come to see them, and just maybe they want an ultrasound or whatever. And they're wrestling with whether to keep the child, give it up for adoption, try to parent, whatever, like they're wrestling with all these things. And it's just a hard time in life, right? And they just minister to these young ladies and to men, but they just minister to them. They guide them and counsel them. They love them and serve them. So those are ones I just think, and maybe I just have a particular heart for that anyway. My wife and I have adopted a son, and that was through a pregnancy center as well out in Texas. So I think pregnancy centers are just kind of unsung heroes in our culture right now, that are just really stepping into a difficult culture war. To just advocate for women who nobody else is advocating for, when everybody else is advocating for, you know, going a different direction with your pregnancy, they're advocating for, hey, look, why don't we choose life? I'll just say that. Why don't we choose life and let us walk alongside you with that and help you navigate what that means and what that looks like, and help you be healthy and help you live a life that is well and fruitful and good, right? Like they're really stepping into the lives of people. It's not just a ministry. This is what I'm always struck by. It's not just a ministry that's just like, hey, we just want to make sure babies are born, right? This is a ministry that goes, man, we want to make sure you're taken care of and your child is taken care of in the best way possible. And we're going to help you get the care you need now and in the future. Like that kind of thing is just, it's so valuable. And so anyway, yeah, maybe if somebody's listening, that can encourage you. Pregnancy centers, maybe where you live or wherever, get involved there. They always need help with whether it's just donations or they need help people to just come and like be help, just encourage ladies who are there, especially women who can just come and sit with them and talk with them and encourage them. Anyway, a lot of good ways to serve in those capacities. So
I not just unsung heroes. I mean, they're doing all the things that, you know, here we go into politics again, but that Planned Parenthood says that the reason they need to exist is to offer all these other services, but
right.
They're doing all the things that Planned Parenthood says they're doing, but without telling them to get an abortion, which exactly. Is, you know, the huge thing. And but they're not only unsung heroes, they're often demonized.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's such a tough ministry. They're doing the Lord's work. They're doing it in the toughest circumstances with people in crisis. And they're active. The secular world treats them like pariahs. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's I probably would have gravitated to that. Good Catholic boy, that would have been. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris. We're going to wind down here soon. So why don't you, whatever you want to talk to her about, we'll obviously get some links to what you want to post on this. But you know, you figure out how to take us out of this. Take as much time as you want.
Okay. Well, I mean, Kurt, you have done a tremendous job of showing what a life of missions is. I mean, you took so many, youth group trips with kids, you know, when you were a youth pastor, and you and Tara, you know, live it out in your life. And so I do appreciate the heart that you display for missions. What's an encouragement that you could give people who, maybe don't know where to, if they want to maybe get their church a little more involved in missions?
If you're just at a church and you're looking, you just kind of feel that burden, you feel that heart, first thing, go talk with your pastor. If you're not a pastor, if you're just kind of going to a church, go talk with that pastor, go talk with a leader there in the church, just have a conversation. Please don't, as a pastor, I say this, please don't go to them and like berate them because you're not missional enough. go and just say, hey, can we get some coffee? And I guess my first piece of advice there would be, as you have that conversation, offer ways that you want to help and serve, right? Like, don't just go and say, hey, we want the church to be like this and do this. Instead, I think if you can approach your church leaders, with a heart of, hey, I would love to help lead this. I would love to help serve in this way. That always is a great way to open that door. Because then we know, anytime I hear like a church member say something like that of like, hey, I feel a burden from the Lord. I want to step into that. I'm not telling you, Kurt, to go do something. I'm saying I feel that, and I want that. That to me is always like, man, that's golden, right? Because that's the Lord's work in that person's life, and I'm paying attention to that. I think that's one of my big jobs as a pastor, just to pay attention, like, what is God doing in His church, not just in me, but in His church, in His people. So that's one thing. I think looking around your community, looking around your community, starting there, like you were saying, Stephen, there's so much to do in your own community, wherever your community is. Start right there. It's easy to kind of be like, hey, let's go on a mission trip to China or whatever, but just start right where you live. Jesus told His disciples, you're going to be my witnesses, but you're going to start in Jerusalem, start in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So I think just kind of starting simple with, man, find one or two other opportunities right around your community that you, and like I said, start with yourself, but then maybe you and a small group of people at your own church can go and start serving there. And invite your leadership in on that, and just why y'all are doing that, what that looks like. And then hopefully over time and through just prayer and conversation, you'll see your church begin to really have this missional mindset, this missional focus. I think that the churches that I really see thriving, the churches that I see, and I don't mean just growing as far as numbers, but just really like thriving and growing in maturity and in faith and in fruit, like bearing fruit, it's the churches that I see that have an outward focus, not just an inward focus, right? We want to grow. We want to be, you know, we want to have our good community within our congregation. Of course, we want to get to know each other. We want to have our groups and our Bible studies and great Sunday services and all those things for sure. But man, if we're not looking out, then we just kind of become our own echo chamber. You know, we just kind of, it just becomes a country club. And that's not what we're here to do. That's not who we're here to be. You know, we have a great community. That's awesome within our own congregation. But man, if we can look out and then go and be on mission, I think that right there is where we see the Lord bear fruit. And as Acts chapter 2 says, at the very end of that chapter, it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, because they were living it out. They weren't just doing it on Sundays. And they were living it out, getting into their community. So anyway, conversation, prayer, and then just looking right around yourselves to find those needs and begin to meet them. I really believe any church that does that, you're going to see the Lord move. You're going to see him work.
Well, there were like two things I didn't even get to with you today, so I hope you can come back on someday soon.
yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
It's been, we could, you know, obviously Chris has been talking about you for a long time. I'm so glad you're, you know, we haven't met yet, but I could hear the passion for your ministry and your calling and your voice just from this short conversation. And it's awesome to listen to. And now just something goofy to hit right now. Okay, since you used a babysitter, Chris, and every once in a while you go, hey buddy, you know, I used to wipe the drool off your chin.
Oh my goodness.
I'll tell you my favorite Kurt story. Kurt is one of the smartest people I know, and he was one of those kids who would memorize every word to every movie he watched.
That's true.
And he would sit there the whole time. He would quote dialogue with every movie I would watch with him and his brother and sister. So one year I was working in children's ministry I was serving in children's ministry at the time. And we watched Charlie Brown Christmas for a Christmas event with the kids. And I can do that with Charlie Brown Christmas. I can sit there as it's playing and quote. So I made a point of sitting behind you, Kurt.
Uh-huh.
And quoting dialogue.
I do not remember this, no.
You know, at one point, you turned around to me. You said, Chris, stop it. And I said, you do this to me every time I'm at your house.
This is what it's like. That's so funny.
But look, I'm not going to lie. I've been kind of beaming with pride as we had this conversation, because I'm like, this is my pastor, and I've known him all his life. And so I've been just kind of like, yeah, the whole time.
Were there any hints when he was younger that Kurt would follow this path?
I don't know. Like, I always thought Kurt was going to be like a baseball player.
Honestly. That's what I thought I was going to be too. Yeah.
Okay. I honestly thought Kurt was going to play for the Braves.
I like even better now. Chris will tell you. I'll tell you. My daughter is a jock and is a big sports fan. When she was about 9, 10 years old, she said, which do you love more, football or baseball? I said, you know how much I love football, right? She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm in love with baseball. That's the
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, baseball is it's a love, man.
It really is, big time.
Dodgers 1-0 to start off the season. Just putting that out there for you Braves fans.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm still just rolling in the fact that UGA is number 4 in the biggest college baseball poll right now.
Yes, and Arizona's 21 in that one.
Is UGA number 4?
UGA is number 4.
Man,
I don't follow college baseball as much as I need to.
Oh, man, you should. I'm going to take you to a Georgia game sometime, Kurt.
I know, man. The Braves are my team. That's been my first love, the Braves. But
You would love college baseball. It's a lot of fun.
Well, because I have that birthday party to go to tonight, we're going to have to wrap up right now. But seriously, Kurt, I would love to have you back on. I hope to meet you someday. We'll come visit Chris. I don't know where you are on the bourbon thing, but Chris and I need to drink together in public at some point soon. So, I don't know if you've seen the logo for this podcast. It's a glass of bourbon.
I have not. No, I haven't
seen this. That's what, in theory, we'll be just doing this over drinks one day. But I would love to meet you one day. This has been fantastic. I really appreciate having you on.
Kurt.
And Chris, since Kurt is your pastor, what can you
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. We were so glad to have you on. Love you, man. And I appreciate all that you do. And now that you're a part of the Faith All Over the Place family, it's even more exciting. So,
yeah, this has been a blessing. It really has. I've enjoyed this. Thank y'all so much. This has been
absolutely tons
of fun. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next
week.
So much,
we have no guests yet except for next week, but we're working. You know, it might just be, you know, one of those conversations. that Chris and I have. You've grown to love.
That's right. See y'all.
Bye, y'all.